Hey everyone, it's Benji here. I just want to let you guys know that the Budget Overland podcast is no more. Ended that back in February 2024. I just wanted to come on here and give you guys a disclaimer as to not buy anything from Budget Overland Official. The only two things that you should be able to join is the Facebook group, and that is under groups, and it's called Budget Overland. You have to ask to join. It's still up and operational. And then budgetoverlandportal.com will still be up and operational until the domain name runs out, which I believe is good till 2026. Anything, everything else that's Budget Overland out there, please don't support. Please don't buy. It's either spam, scam, or something else. Just want to let you guys know, I did start a new podcast called Newfound Overland. It's available on all major platforms. Love to have you over there. Just kind of disclaimer here, guys, up front before you get into today's episode. There's a lot of gold out here. You know, every episode we had some good guests and good topics. So I don't want to discourage you guys from listening further, so please do, and I'd love to see you over on Newfound Overland. Bye-bye. All right, welcome back to another episode of Budget Overland. Jay is in New Zealand currently, so I am running this show right now. And this show is going to be a recap of our trip a couple weeks ago now that we talked about in two episodes ago. About me organizing a large group to meet in the state of Arkansas. And these guys are coming from six different states. So, I can't wait to dive in. We got a few of them with us today. A couple might join us later, but we'll see how this goes. Hopefully you guys enjoy. So before we get started, this episode is brought to you in part by Trail Rated Coffee. And Trail Rated Coffee is a locally owned coffee distributor out of Colorado. They're a mom and pop shop. And for every dollar made, they put that back into trail reconstruction, and we support them. They're a small business and they have a great cause, so go check them out. If you guys use the code BUDGET15, you can get 15% off any order, and go support them. And secondly, we've got some stickers, and most importantly, patches. You can go over to budgetoverlandofficial.com. we've got t-shirts, hoodies, all that swag. Go check it out. We're not making a killing at this show. We're rolling every dollar back into it because all this stuff costs money, and we appreciate your guys' support. And, enough of that. Let's dive in today's topic and conversation. And, what is that? I've been calling it like Destination Arkansas because everyone, I think we had six different states from this trip. And, the primary objective was to meet sporadically throughout the state of Arkansas. So with me today, I've got Destin. Destin, wave your hand to the folks that are driving right now and can't see anything. And then we've got Kelly. And we've got Mike, which has an avatar, which that's fine. He said he was having a bad hair day, but we won't make him feel too bad about it.
Yep.
Huh?
Need hair first.
All right. So I'm just going to kick this off. This is going to be like a conversation between all of us because – I want to get your guys' perspective from the trip. Nothing too serious. We're just going to have a conversation about this episode and our trip to Arkansas. And first and foremost, I appreciate you guys taking some time out of your afternoons and joining me today. I look forward to this chat. So really, my first question for the group, did the trip meet or exceed your expectations? And anyone could just jump in here at any time.
Yes.
To both?
To all, yeah.
All right. Do you care to like elaborate on that? Like, kind of like, you didn't know me from Adam. I don't think you knew anybody in the group other than you listen to the podcast maybe and check out Facebook, you know, Budget Overland.
Yeah.
So aside from that.
I was supposed to hang out with you guys back at Big Iron last year, but that didn't pan out. Somebody decided to run from a tornado. So, yeah. But, it was a really cool trip, stuff that I haven't pushed the ZJ to before. So getting to learn a lot of the new capabilities of it from the upgrades that I've done, it put a lot of confidence in the rig. So yeah, I'd say it definitely met and exceeded all the expectations.
Cool. Kelly, you have anything on that?
It was overall, it was just a great trip. One, you knocked it out of the park planning it. And then with three different meetup days, I mean, that was a pretty big challenge. And if you pulled it off.
Right. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. But it was just a good time. You know, a nice mix of trails. The water crossings were interesting, but not crazy. And just enough to get it, you know, it was exciting, but we didn't lose any rigs, you know. So, right. it was a really good time, and a great, great bunch of folks showed up, I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a good time. Really good time. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, it definitely exceeded expectations. I kind of went at it with no expectations, just show up and see what happens. Didn't know anybody there. Just people from the Facebook group and a solid group of people. Couldn't ask for a better group of people to go overlanding with. Definitely did a lot of new things that I haven't done overlanding wise, as far as technical trails and things like that. And everybody gave me the confidence because they would take off and they would go do it. And I had a great time.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, you know, Kelly, myself, and Caleb, I think we were the only ones that actually experienced anything as far as like carnage or a breakdown. But I believe the group after Tony was meeting up with us, I think we had 11 rigs in our little group. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right, 11. So 3 out of 11 is really not that bad. And really, Kelly's was a sidewall failure, which I think, you know, that really could happen anywhere. So he had to figure that out, which he did. You know, nobody panicked about anything. My front left tire came off because I was in two-wheel drive because I broke a CV axle Friday evening, and I wasn't going to spend half the day driving to a town to find a CV axle and drive all the way back in the woods and try to find, you know, the group of guys that I've planned for 2 months, you know, to wheel with. I wasn't going to do that. So other than that, oh, and then Baker got high centered on a rock in the middle of a mud hole, or actually a water hole. So, he got a little water.
You mean the water hole you sent me a picture and a text and you said, stay to the right, that one?
No, I said, stay to the left. No, I sent you a picture because I took it from the other direction.
You said, stay to the right from your side. I've got the text. Trust me, that's going in a video.
We will have to look into that. I'll have to edit this part out, though.
No, keep this part in because it plays out great because I have video of me and Tony going through it. And apparently it's not a big deal if you're on 37s.
Okay, so 37s, you can make it. I think Baker's on like 33s, something like that. And everybody else was under 33s, so yeah.
Well, man, be That's glad funny, that you dude. Caught up to us on that when you did, because when the two groups crossed – that yeah. one oh, hole, gosh. It sank. What was it, like an FJ?
Yeah, it was an FJ.
Yeah, it sank it, man. Almost hydrolocked the engine.
Yeah, so that worked out great.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I think I texted you we'll have to look, but the text where I told you to go left or right, wherever, that's debatable. we'll have to look at that. And I think you said you were still in Conway or wherever you guys went to, I'm not sure, but you guys caught up to us quick because we spent some time not getting him out, but like his gear was wet and everything like that. And then we caught up to that next group to where they almost got, you know, stuck and hydrolocked, and it was just a big mess. But like, you guys caught up to us quick.
Well, when Tony and I, we made good time. It was Russellville, and when we made good time up to the trail, and even that first third of that trail, I'm not going to lie, we were hitting it at like 30 miles an hour.
On the gravel.
And even when you got into the where there was some brush on there, but it wasn't a bad road, you know, we were hitting it pretty hard. So just because we didn't want to run out of daylight before we met up with you guys, you know, and I had your CV joint and you kind of needed that. So,
yeah. I appreciate you bringing it. But what's crazy is for everybody that doesn't know, Kelly had sidewall failure, which was not, we didn't have a patch kit or nothing that would be able to handle it to where he could limp along. So he went into town and he was trying to find some tires, you know, that he could find. And he did, but he had to wait an extra day. We'll get into that later. But then I needed a CV axle. So he was like, I'll just go get you one, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of worked out for me, even though they were both going to town. It's not like we had a, you know, all of us leave. And I appreciate you going to do that for me, because the clunking was driving me nuts on my little CV axle all day long. It's giving me a headache. But yeah, moving towards, you know, my camp destination for that night was right on the river. And it was a big, you know, because we had about 11 rigs in our group. And it was, well, that night we had 10 because John had to leave. But it was a big group, big campfire area. And somebody just rolled in when we were on the other side of the river. And we're like, dadgummit, if we didn't have, you know, Caleb's issue, if we didn't have the other people's issue, you know, on the trail that we ran into, we could have been there. But I'm glad we went down just a little bit further and there was another big clearing. It wasn't on the river. But, man, after a long day like that, it was nice not to have to drive into the night like we did previously. I think Friday night we drove. That was the night you had your issues, and we drove into the night, and that was just – I was ready to get off the trail. I was ready to go set up a tent and get a fire going and some dinner. But, man, what a trip. Got another question. Well, we kind of already covered this, but I was going to say – were any of you that don't know me personally reluctant about coming on this trip at all? We kind of touched on this, but not specifically. Mike said he didn't really know anybody in the group. Destin kind of said that, but were you guys really reluctant on coming, or were you just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to go?
No, this is one of those things, just go or don't. So I just wanted to go. Yep. Never been to the Ozarks.
Nice.
Was looking forward to that. Was looking forward to meeting everybody. Yeah, I definitely wanted to go.
Yeah, in all honesty,
Destin.
Yeah, in all honesty, I mean, I had a little bit of doubt, but I was like, man, you know, everybody on the Facebook group has been pretty cool, so I just took a chance and was like, yeah, everybody's been pretty laid back, pretty cool, so wanted to give it a shot. So and yeah, glad I did. So it was
yes, pretty neat. That's the way I already knew Kelly from last year at Moore, but I've never wheeled with him or anything. And me and him met up Wednesday night at Glatop in Missouri, and then we ventured down towards Arkansas the next morning. But like I was telling my wife when I got home, it's like I kind of knew these guys already from our Facebook group. So, you know, kind of like we just kind of clicked when we got there. It's kind of like we knew who each other were, but then we could actually put a person with the face or the profile picture. And I think, you know, like we said before, like this group was just outstanding, and I definitely go on a trip with you guys again. Nobody did anything stupid or nothing like that. I feel like everybody was responsible and very, thoughtful of everybody else's, camp and scenario and all that other good jazz that comes with it.
I thought this was going to be a yearly thing now.
It could be, but we can't say that. Now we got to edit that because people are going to want in on this.
Oh man. Sorry guys.
Did the initial group size worry anyone? Because for a while there, we were like at 16, 17 rigs. And I'll be honest, like that didn't sound fun to me. But I kind of had the feeling that people would back out, which they did. But did anybody else kind of feel like that?
Yeah, it worried me. Like you said, when it was those big numbers and you're still talking about splitting the group up, I was really worried about, man, that's going to be a goat rope. It's going to be rough.
Yeah. Well, and Eli even said to me, he's like, I like your enthusiasm and your, what's the word he used specifically? It was funny. He was like, oh, you're so optimistic. I think that was the word. Cause I had all these trails and I'm like, yeah, we're going to do this one first and then we're going to have lunch. And then we're going to go do this one. He's like, dude, you're so optimistic. And
yeah, your first day was, yeah, rolling into Ozone Burger.
Ozone.
And looking at 8 hours worth of trails. I was like, yeah, oh, man, this is going to be rough.
So
they didn't have any burgers. That was great.
And they didn't have any burgers. Dadgummit. Yeah. We'll have to go back for just the burgers. Yeah. And that was so comical to me. It's like we went out of our way down to OR Cafe, then to Cass, then we went south all the way to Ozark, then we hopped all the way back over to Clarksville or something, then went north to Ozone. We literally camped 6 miles north of Ozone Burger Barn the night before, but we had to go get diesel fuel. We had to go get all the lump, whatever, the firewood and stuff. It is what it is. But it was comical that we went an hour out of our way to the burger barn that had zero burgers. We gave up. We passed on Arby's. That. Huh?
I could not believe that.
Yeah.
We pulled up and they're eating sandwiches. And I was like, what's going on?
Kaylee brought out the whole cooler.
To say I was mad or disappointed would be an understatement, because the whole it is what it is. It is what it is. Well, what was one of y'all's favorite moments?
Moments, plural, is I enjoy the riding and the driving and the trails and everything, but I enjoy sitting around the campfire much more than anything else and chatting with everybody, even though didn't have a whole lot in common.
Yeah.
Besides Benji leading most of the conversations.
We'll just leave it.
It's really relaxing and nice. And, you know, fire always makes you feel good. And the dogs had a good time.
Yeah.
So it was just, it just felt really good around. That was one of my favorite things. The thing that's what I'm going to take away the most with is sitting around the fire and talking with everybody.
Absolutely. Those are my favorite times too. Anybody else?
Go ahead, Kelly.
All right. I'm going to echo what Mike said. It was such an interesting group of people that sitting at camp and talking to folks was just a good time. Because there were some folks with some really interesting histories and some pastimes. You know, it was just some really, really neat people. And I enjoyed getting to know everybody and looking at everybody's rigs. It was a pretty diverse, you know, pile of equipment too. So it's not like there was just 11 copies of the same vehicle, you know? Oh, yeah. So you got to see 11 different ways people are doing things. And I think you get to learn a lot from seeing what works for other people.
That's a good point.
No, definitely. Definitely. That was always fun to see other people's rigs, especially Kelly's.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting. So, and the way
I think everybody was jealous of that one.
I'm confident.
He didn't have a problem staying an extra night.
mine
what about
was,
you, Destin?
Mine was it got a little hairy there in the middle of the river. So, yeah. But I'd say it was a great takeaway moment and good learning experience. So I've actually got a part on the way to kind of help tighten up that transfer case linkage. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. So.
Well, you handled it well. And I'll say that was about 2 hours, I believe, after we met. I mean, roughly two or 3 hours, you know, the ozone. And then we're going down these trails and you're like, you know, we get to I wasn't expecting like that bad of a water crossing, but they did have a lot of rain previously. So I was like, well,
I don't know. I thought we met on Friday. I thought that river crossing was on Saturday.
I think it was Friday evening, like right after, because we were trying to find camp. I could be wrong. Anybody else? Kelly wasn't there though. No, Kelly was there.
Yeah. He caught up. Yeah. It was Saturday. Cause he caught up.
Kelly and Mike. We did.
Yeah. Cause we crossed groups after that water crossing. And he caught up to us whenever we were crossing groups that day.
I thought that was later in the evening. But anyway, I thought it was kind of funny because I think it was the night you guys came in, because I was like, crap, these guys just showed up. They drove you drove a long ways. And I was like, we're going to end this trip here about 2 or 3 hours in the trip because it's hydrolocked or he's going to flip it over or something stupid, which I'm glad that didn't happen. It's just a lot of people.
Me too.
a lot of people just don't pay attention to that kind of stuff or scenarios. They're just like, okay, cool, I'm going to drive. But whenever you drive that far to go do trips like this, you're thinking of every little thing that, you know, you're doing. You're just a little bit more cautious, especially myself. You know, I'm still 4 or 5 hours away from home. I wanted to make it home.
Yeah, it was a 12-hour round-trip drive to there and back for me. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, you kind of want to make sure that you can drive back.
Yep.
Yeah, like somebody said, I needed that sticker inside the cab that says, "Remember, stupid, you have to drive this home."
Well, and that, you know, that's actually a conversation I've had with a number of folks, especially when I start doing some of the harder for overlanding rock trails I've done, you know, and you'll get folks, oh, you know, my buddy and his tube buggy does this stuff all the time.
Sure.
Okay, well, it's easy to have big off-road balls when you're 3 miles from the parking lot and there's a trailer waiting to bring you home.
Correct.
It's a whole different situation when you're 800 miles away and that's your ride. And it's not to throw shade on anyone. It's just different math.
That's what wears me out. And this is why I like kind of the off-roading part of overlanding is, A, I'm distracted by what I'm doing. So I'm not thinking about work or anything. But then it really wears you out. And I always sleep the best when I'm out wheeling and stuff because you're emotionally drained because of every little scenario that goes through your mind. And then you've got other guys in your convoy or whatever you want to call it that you're also responsible for in a way, you know, everybody's in it together. I'm not going to leave anybody behind or anything like that. Nobody else is. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff, like on Sunday, whenever we left, I honestly thought we were taking a little trail to get to a gravel road. That little trail turned into like two and a half hour at least. And we hit some serious stuff.
That was the most technical part of the trip.
It was the
perfect cherry on top to end the weekend, though.
So, we'll get to the cherry. I think the cherry was me driving home 35 miles an hour.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But where that switchback was on Sunday, I was like, all right, guys, I don't have any brakes. Well, what I was doing was sliding on. It was kind of like a gravelly mud mix, and I've never really kind of experienced that before. So I was kind of panicking a little bit, and I was asking Mike, I said, is there anything behind me? Like, how much feet or yardage do I have if I have to just slide? Like, how much? And then, you know, Wade, obviously, he had street tires on. He was one of the last guys up, and no winch or nothing, but he made it up. It was just sketchy altogether getting out, and I don't know. It adds to the adventure, but I'm glad everybody safely made it out. Everybody's using their head. Nothing stupid happened, except for, I mean, even the stuff we did wasn't stupid. So I feel like everybody was responsible that weekend. Anybody want to add to that before we move on?
I definitely put that in the moments of good. Yeah, Eli, I know he, you know, everybody's going to be critical of their own food, but he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, we did kind of a community dinner / dessert. Was that Saturday night? That was our big hoorah because Sunday we were all leaving. Yeah. So we all pitched in money for Eli, and he cooked us some kind of, was it boudin or what was it?
Jambalaya.
And, you know, and that's the thing. Saturday night, I rolled into camp. I had to change a CV axle. It started spitting rain a little bit. Eli had to cook, you know, and then we had to, like, set up our tents afterwards. But everybody was kind of just doing their thing. And it's nice whenever you roll into camp, you don't have to worry about food. I don't care who you are. If you could ever split a meal like that or do anything, take responsibilities and do that, it really takes the load off the group. And instead of having 5 or 10 grills going at the same time, just utilize the same one or pitch in money or food and have like a big collective dinner or something. But I don't know. That really helped me out because, man, I was fighting that CV. It was greasy as heck and started to spit down rain. I have a dog and she did good, but it was just all the little things added up. I'm just glad I didn't have to cook. And then Destin cooked us some cornbread out of his Dutch oven. And that was dope because it was not burnt and it was not undercooked. It was right on.
It was spot on.
And then what'd you do for dessert?
So what did I do? Oh, the apple thing. The apple cinnamon roll dumpling thing. It didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. It was a little gooey.
But that cornbread was a surprise. I didn't know you were doing cornbread. That was really good. And if you've never cooked on a Dutch oven, yeah. Go try some cornbread and see how that turns out.
That was the best cornbread I've ever had out of a Dutch oven.
Well, no, for sure.
Yeah, easily. easily the best.
Thank you. So.
Well, this was for Gerald and Trevor and maybe even Mike. So Mike's here. And this is my question out loud. For the stock guys, how many times are you thinking to yourself, you know, I hope I make it, or this is stupid, or my wife's going to kill me? Like, did you have any thoughts, like, when you were committed to something in your stock rig, that something could happen, but you're like, you know what, I'm going to just go for it and see what happens?
Oh, definitely. Especially water crossings. For some reason, I have a phobia about water crossings and being on, 30-inch tires and no lift, and worried about hydrolock, because I know two people who have had that happen to them, and this, yep, you know, a whole new engine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, you know, it's kind of like you get to the point, you're right there at the edge of the river, you take in a breath, and you just go. But there were several times, and I'm so low on mine. Destin kept watching me drag my trailer hitch,
yep,
all over Arkansas. So I, yep, left little grooves and all over Arkansas with my trailer hitch dragging down so low. But the little Tacoma made it.
I was thoroughly impressed with Trevor and yours, but I think Trevor had, did you have a rear locker or not, Mike?
No lockers.
So Trevor had lockers, which was very beneficial on a lot of those trails. But you guys, and then Gerald, really, you know, that little Nissan, man, that really shocked me how well it did. Zero issues, nothing. And he was probably close to the same height and tire size as you were.
Yeah, well, I think Gerald deserves the award of the weekend, because he kept up with everybody. That little Xterra just – he was just there. So it showed how much skill he had as a driver.
Because it
definitely wasn't the tools that he had at his disposal, although it was very capable.
Yeah.
And I think he was the only rig in the group that's a manual.
Yeah. That's another thing. Because whenever you're driving out there, you could stall, you know, something like that. Or there's a whole lot of scenarios that happen to that, but I think the whole group did fantastic, and I'm not just saying that. I think everybody was supportive in every way possible, and, you know, even for the river crossings, we took our time, like, one rig at a time. Like, it's fine. We're not in some big rush, and I just think that really added to the trip, because once you start rushing people like that, that's when you start doing stupid mistakes, and things start to happen for the worse. Were there any favorite takeaways or any favorite stories or anything that sticks out to you? I mean, there's a ton for me, but I mean, like, anything specific?
I have several good stories, but I think several of them stay on the trail, as they say.
Yeah.
Just because it definitely had to be their moments.
Yeah.
I remember looking at everybody's rigs and this, that, and the other, and got ideas, and actually, you know, made a couple of Amazon purchases when I got home. And the thing I think I was the proudest of was got me one of those Elmer Fudd hats, because I saw four people with them on, and I was like jealous because they look nice and warm.
Yes. And they really are. And I'll tell you, my father-in-law bought mine for me kind of as a joke. Like 9 years ago. And I wear that sucker every time I go coal camping or anything. I'm just like, it's so nice. You could snap it under your chin, so at night when you're rolling around, it doesn't pop off or anything. And if your ears get hot at night, you just snap it above your head. It's like, make fun of me all you want. Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Not until you try it. Don't knock until you try it. But I understand that you're not knocking it, but
no.
You saw a practical use for it.
Absolutely.
Kelly?
So the big thing for me is, so I carried a high lift jack around with me for 3 years and never used the damn thing, right?
Yeah.
And I took probably three trips ago, took it out, and I just haven't put it back. And yeah, I need to up my jack game. That high lift's got to go back on my rig for one. But then we ran into a lot of problems with when you start getting big tires, big droop, getting the vehicle high enough off the ground and then getting the tire, you know, and something short enough to get under an axle. We really struggled with that. And something that came to me after the fact that I knew, but that I forgot that would have helped us is we could have used the high lift for all of that. You use a ratchet strap to ratchet strap the axle up to the frame and then lift the whole truck. But it just didn't come to me in that moment, you know? So we spent a lot more time changing my tire than we should have, you know? And my truck came off the jack and nobody got hurt, but that could have easily gone differently.
And that's another thing. You know, I think it was good. You got to look at the positives during this, but I think it was good because we were all standing around. You called us a bunch of danged old hippies, which that's verbatim. It's good for a lot of people, and because their rigs are not going to, it's not going to be the same scenario when the Xterra or the Tacoma breaks down. This is a full size 2500 Ram, pretty much, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a 3/4 ton truck.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So it's a full set with 37s. I mean, it was kind of nice for everybody to see what it takes to kind of do that. It'll make their truck or whatever a lot simpler or a lot less overwhelming. But to see, like, because I missed the part where your initial jack stand slipped or something, because it was kind of misting out or spitting rain or something. Because we went down looking for a camp and we came back and someone's like, oh, yeah, it slipped. I'm like, what? So it's like, you know, red flags went off. Like, let's think about this methodically. And I know Baker had a high lift. I had a high lift. And then Gerald had that little 3 or 5 ton triangle, whatever kind of jack, which was kind of cool. But it only went up so high.
Yeah.
So to try to utilize what we had in the group, we got it done. But if you were out there kind of by yourself, I mean, you might have been screwed and just had to tear up a wheel and shred your tire to get out somewhere.
Well, and that's just it. Not having my high lift, which, like I said, I carried for years. Yeah. Had I been out there alone with just that stock jack, yeah, I would have been screwed. I would have had to have been getting really creative with pieces of wood from out in the forest, you know?
Yeah.
Which you can do. There's a lot of stuff. I've done stuff like that back when I was younger. But you know, the more you improvise like that, the more sketchy stuff gets.
Yeah.
I mean, my takeaway is my high lift is going back on my truck.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to, but you know, I mean, I recommend for anybody out there, I mean, whatever you've got for a solution, it may seem like a lot of work, but maybe let the air out of one of your tires, put it down low and see if your jack actually gets under it and then can lift it up high enough, you know,
yeah,
might be worth it.
Yep. Destin?
I think my number one takeaway is that the preparations that I've done over the last year to the Jeep have actually held up and done very well. So I like where I'm going with the ZJ, and I like what I'm planning on improving it, because I am wanting to swap in a rear axle in the next year or two. But knowing that the Dana 35 held up on the 33s with no issues, I really like where it's at and where it's going. I would say my second takeaway, more zip ties. I think everybody asked me for zip ties. I'm going to need to get some more, because I'm down about half a pack already.
That's good. And what's, you know, for me, the last time I went out, well, that was a couple times ago, I always take baling wire with me for like that kind of situation. Like it's a thicker gauge, and then you could, you know, double it up or whatever, you know, it gets you out of the gnarly stuff. But like, you know, Kelly said, the more patches and crap like that, the sketchier it gets. But anyway, anytime you can get out. So I agree with the ratchet, or not the ratchet straps, the zip ties, the thicker gauge stuff, like absolutely grab a pack of those suckers, throw them in there. I think everybody needs those under their seat or wherever. Anybody else want to hit on anything else? What'd we miss? Except for a lot more people, which is fine. I like talking in small groups like this. We get a lot more accomplished.
So how was your ride home?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So for a lot of people that don't know, this was Saturday afternoon. We were on a trail. That's the time Baker got in that little water pit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we came across another group, and we were like zigzagging into these trails because there was like three or four bypasses within the woods and a bunch of deep mud pits and stuff. And I was forced to be in two-wheel drive because my front left CV axle was broke. And I was running about 15, 16 PSI on 33s, just to help smooth out the trail rides and everything. Nothing wrong with that. And then I hit this mud pit, and I was thinking, you know, I just got to hit it hard. It's just slush. Got to get through it. And I guess I hit like a 90-degree bank or something or a wall, and it just popped. My tire came off the bead. Luckily, it was just the outer. And then we had to recover that. So anyway, later that night, Kelly brings me a CV axle. I pop it in. I'm like, cool, we're good to go. The next morning, I already told, we did like a two and a half hour trail to get to the highway. And then we started heading home on the highway after we aired up. Well, my alignment got out of whack, so it was wanting to throw me right into the ditch. Well, where we were, was that north? I don't even know where. It was south of Jasper, and Jasper was kind of where we were headed, and Jasper to Harrison. So if you've ever been on that road, there's hardly any side rail, guardrails, whatever. There's hardly any trees on the side. So if you're going over like 35, 40, in my case, it was wanting to throw you right. And then you had oncoming traffic to worry about. So I was going like 35 miles an hour. I pulled over a couple of times just to look at it, see if we could do something. But I don't know. I had to go to Springfield, Missouri to pick up my son. So we went all the way to Harrison. And Gerard. Gerard Wade, we had lunch, and I was like, oh, cool. You know, went and bought an outer tie rod. Thought that was my problem. And I looked at it. I was like, boy, this ain't bent. Nothing happened to my tie rod. So I was like, you guys go home. I'll just limp it to Springfield, and I'll take one of my mom or dad's rigs home, and I'll come trailer it the next morning, not worry about it. So like, all right, cool. Going up north on Highway 65, it's 65 speed limit. I was going about 45, 50 max. And then I got to Springfield, and then I live in central Missouri near Fort Leonard Wood. And I was not going to take my son on I-44 going 45 miles an hour. That would have been stupid. So we took Route 66 all the way home, about 35, 40 miles an hour. And it's still sitting in my driveway. All I got to do, knock on wood, is have an alignment done to it. But ate up two of my front tires, which I've got two spares at my shop, so I'm just going to rotate them out. But what a nightmare.
Yeah, it looks like he's on the way home, and I was like, man, he is getting squirrely. So you'd speed up to about 10, 15, 20 miles an hour, and then it'd slow back down. Speed up, slow back down. I was like, man. I know he didn't drink that much.
No, it was a long day. It was a long day. What'd we hit the highway at 11?
11:30-something, right?
And I don't think we got to Harrison until 12:31. Yeah. And then I didn't get home that night till like 8 o'clock. Like, it was crazy. Long day.
Mm-hmm. I thought the... not interesting and not funny, but interesting is the three of the most experienced trail guys are the ones that suffered the most carnage. So I don't know what that says, but
what it says is how we handled it.
Right.
So a year or two ago, I would have lost my mind, you know, when that bead came off my tire and I'm stuck in the mud. And I'm two-wheel drive. I've been like, oh, I'm screwed, you know, whatever. You know, we laughed about it. We got it out. We've put the tire back on. We kept going forward. Same thing with Kelly. My back tire's blowed out. No. It was like, nah, crap, this happened. Now we got to deal with it in the rain and the dark instead of the you know, the day and no rain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Caleb, he's accepted it. Yep. Yeah. Don't go this way, boys.
Everybody came through it with a really great attitude, you know. Mm-hmm. Humor never left. It was great.
Yeah, but I've been out with groups before, you know, people they lose their minds and they throw stuff, right. And it's like, calm the freak down. That's not helping the situation.
Well, yeah, or they start kind of turning on each other. Well, if you hadn't done this, and there's a lot of ifs, dude. We are where we are. Just deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the takeaway from this group. I don't feel like there was anybody like this in our group, because I sure as heck would never invite you to go on another trip again. That's how I wean these kind of trips out. Mm-hmm. You know, we could say, yeah, we had a good time. And well, how come Benji's not calling me? Well, here's your sign. And I'm not saying like that for this group, because I'd wheel with you guys again, 100%. We had a great time. And that's the way you've got to think when you're out with your club or your group or whatever. Like, you don't have to go with it. It's enjoyable. You don't have to be miserable is what I'm saying. So if it's miserable, and Johnny or Joe's always complaining and yelling and throwing, get a different group. Like, don't put up with that bull crap. And call them out on it, too. Like, to say, calm down, bro. Anyway, we're getting off track here. Anybody else have anything to say?
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Yep, for sure.
This is one of the most enjoyable trips I've done, and I've done a couple of trips, because nobody had an agenda. It was literally just everybody out there having a good time, getting to know each other, and helping each other out, and that was really refreshing. It was, like I said, probably one of my favorite trips.
Good, man. I'm glad.
Yeah, it was definitely one of my favorite trips, and I think this. In the last year and a half, this makes like trip 13 I've done. Nice. It's definitely one of the most enjoyable that I've had. And we have a nice tight group, you know, back in the Southeast that we all get together and we know each other and wheel with each other a lot. But it was interesting and fun to go with another group and see how another group handles everything a little bit differently.
Yeah. For sure. That's where I pick up a lot of my ideas and the way people communicate, you know, and on the radios and stuff. You know, we were kind of having a good time and talking, but you get in some groups, they're like, don't talk on the radio unless you absolutely need to, you know, which is fine. I get it. But like, you know, like on the Sunday morning on the way out, I was like, you know, there's a log down here on the left, blah, blah, blah. Watch your tires. You know, it's a tire popper or whatever. You know, this little stuff like that. Okay, well, let's go back to our conversation about whatever. You know, it could be whatever. Talking about some TV show. I don't care. But, like, some people get mad about that. Like, you're blocking the frequency. It's like, okay, bro, chill out. Anyway.
Other frequencies.
Turn that button off. If the caravan stops moving, we got a problem. Yeah. Well, anything else before we tie it up? I mean, wrap it up. It's about 45 minutes into this podcast. I think it's been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks that everybody else didn't get on here.
Well, it's probably good, because trying to get stories across with that many, it's kind of like covering ground on a trail. It doesn't happen really well with that many folks.
True.
Because I've done two or three of those trails in a day as opposed to a weekend. It was like, mm-hmm. We had a lot of people.
Yeah.
I had fun, though.
I do it again. Blast.
Cool. Anybody got any words of wisdom? That's my part.
After a guy's trip, make sure you bring your wife lots of flowers.
Oh, there you go. I got to buy my wife a new washing machine. My clothes were nasty. Actually, they were nasty because the night before I had to change that CV axle and had all that grease on me, and it was nighttime. I was just rubbing it all over me. I was like, not the smartest.
Man, after I saw your hands, I'm so glad you asked me to open up my cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. And whatever soap Tony had, I want some of that. Do you know what he was used? Was it a homemade kind of?
I don't know. It smelled good because I used it for dishes the next day. It was nice.
Dude, there was like salt in there. It was almost like a shop soap to where it cuts into your pores and stuff.
But it got
Is it that orange soap?
Nope. It looked like a homemade kind of mix. Unless he has something at home, he just poured it in a little bottle. I'll have to ask him on that. Yeah. But yeah, guys, I had a great time. It was funny planning this whole thing out because I was like, me and Kelly met up Wednesday. Then we met John and we met Mike and we met who else came down? That was it. Thursday at O-Art Cafe. And then we went to Devil's Knob to camp that night. And then Gerard came and met up with us like at 9 o'clock randomly on this hill because he had the GPS coordinates. And then the next day we were just kind of messing around a little bit, met up with everybody at Ozone Burger. And made a weekend out of it. That was the stressful part for me, was planning it to align with everybody's schedule and when they would all trickle in. Because we could have waited somewhere for 4 hours. Well, 4 hours is another, trail. So I wanted to utilize everybody's time wisely and not waste their weekend, especially the amount of money and gas and food it costs to come down there or up there to do this trip. So I appreciate you guys doing that with me, and I'm glad it worked out. I've not had any bad text messages or anything like, oh, it was so horrible. But I'll quit beating the dead horse. We had a good time, dang it, and we'll do it again. We might do it somewhere else and somebody else could plan it. How about that?
It'll work.
Yeah. Cool.
There you go.
Well, guys, I think we answered most of the questions. I just wanted to get some stuff out there for viewers that might consider doing a large trip like this. It's doable and you don't all have to meet at the same time. So don't let that discourage you. And also, whenever you're out wheeling with new people, it's a leap of faith. Just jump, do it. You could assess the situation when you get out there. If they're acting a little loopy or crazy, you could always leave at any point in time, but try it. And I think that's the most rewarding for our group is 90% of everybody didn't know anyone and they all showed up. We all meshed and gelled well together and had a heck of a weekend. And we're already talking about doing another trip. So take that for what it's worth. So my words of wisdom this week is just go. If you get an invite or a chance to go overlanding or on a weekend trip, just go. Don't look into the logistics of it. If you get that opportunity, take it. So, until next time, cue the music.